Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great Friday, everybody. Great to be with you. And it's going to be a fun day today, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's AFC-NFC Championship game weekend. We're looking forward to it, just to hunker down. A little snow maybe across the area, especially in the southern part of the listening area. We'll get some snow tonight into tomorrow. And then the title games will take place on Sunday. The first one's the Broncos and the New England Patriots. We've already previewed that game for you this week, getting Mark Daniels on for the Providence Journal and also Nikki Javala from the Denver Post. We're going to then preview the second game a little bit later in the show today. In fact, we'll have Joe Person on from the Charlotte Observer, who covers the Carolina Panthers as the Panthers take on the Arizona Cardinals. We'll have that for you. Also coming up, we will have Bob Flounders on Penn State football. James Franklin will have a press conference tomorrow over at Beaver Stadium, just as a wrap-up. No major announcements to be made or anything like that, but just a wrap-up, what he's done with the staff, how things changed over, how recruiting's going to close, and so forth. We'll have Bob Flounders from PennLive.com and the Patriot News on today. Adam Bittner, PostGazette.com, will be joining us to give us a recap of the Pittsburgh Steelers and what they did over the past couple of weeks, especially on Sunday in the loss to Denver. We'll hear from Adam Bittner. And the first pitch dinner for Penn State baseball is coming up. And in a few moments, we'll talk with Rob Cooper, the head baseball coach of the Nittany Lions, about his team, where they are, and also about the first pitch dinner. Rick Sofield, who is the third base coach for the Pittsburgh Pirates, is going to be in here tonight. And I'm sure they'll get some idiot to emcee the event. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, and microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. They have water, great selection of soda. They also have snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh or not every day. The bags are right there at the register as you exit. And the pickle bar is second to none. We are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Of course, last night, Penn State basketball. Next game for the Nittany Lions will be Monday night when they play at Ohio State. Yes, you get one home game, then you get to leave for the next three. But one of them happens to be the Madison Square Garden game next Saturday as part of that basketball-hockey doubleheader. Basketball will be at noon and hockey at night at MSG. Coming up, Rob Cooper, the head baseball coach of the Nittany Lions. We'll talk with him. Then it'll be Adam Bittner, Bob Flounders, and Joe Person of the Charlotte Observer here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. And Bob Flounders coming up. Also, Adam Bittner and Joe Person. We welcome everyone back. Rob Cooper, Penn State baseball coach, joins us. We're brought to you today by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Coop, welcome back. It's great to have you with us.
You know, I'm excited because this has become one of my favorite events that we get to do here. And you know, it kind of obviously signals the beginning of the season, a chance for us to kind of introduce our team to the community and the public and have another great guest. I'm real excited about having Rick Sofield, the third base coach of the Pirates. And, you know, anybody that's watched the Pirates and kind of noticed, he's probably one of the most energetic guys with personality-wise out there. And, you know, he's a baseball lifer. He's played the game as a big leaguer. He's been in professional baseball as a coach. And a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, he also was a he was the head coach at the University of Utah at one point, so he also has an affinity for college baseball. So it's going to be a fun day.
Your team, are you seeing the benefits now as you start to get ready for this upcoming season of the Cuba trip, the fact that it was there and they actually played and got something under their belt that was meaningful?
Yes. You know, and we're seeing it in a bunch of different ways. I mean, one, You're seeing some kids with just a lot more confidence in themselves, a lot of them getting outside their comfort zone and experiencing something like that. You're seeing it a lot with the team chemistry, and I'll give you a perfect example. You know, right now we're not allowed to have team practices. We can do our individual workouts, but we actually have some hours in Huluva Hall where our guys can go, and it's not mandatory. It's totally voluntary. But I had, you know, I had our players go, hey, coach, because we had to have like a person there, you know, to set everything up, and they're like, coach, we'll do it all. Like, let us do it. And that hasn't happened since I've been here. And, you know, for them to come to us so that they can have that time as a group, and to hear them saying that they're calling guys up going, hey, you need to be here, you need to do this, without us even doing it or asking them to do it, I can definitely draw a line to that being a part of what we got out of Cuba.
Are you starting now, Coop, in your recruiting and in your program to start to get the positional balance that you're looking for? Are you on that path, and are you starting to get the class balance? Are you starting to finally get on that path? I mean, you're not there yet, but are you starting to get on that path?
Definitely. I'll give you an example. We had unbelievable competition this fall for positions, and it was the first time that we really did. And you saw some guys that were juniors and seniors that there was a serious wake-up call that was like, hey, well, there's some depth here. You know, I can't just take for granted that I'm going to be in the lineup because of body count, you know, because there's not that anybody else to play there. And so our fall was better because of it. Guys impacted the way other guys developed. It helped, you know, older guys also teach younger guys. So there's definitely, we're on that path. We're still about a year away, Steve. I really feel next fall we'll be on what I consider even footing with the rest of, you know, where you should be to really go at this thing right. But, we're much deeper on the mound than we've been. We have more options, in the infield and out in the outfield. And so it's definitely made for better competition and helped our raise our program up a little bit.
When you finally get rolling in camp and you can start taking care of business, get ready for the opener, which is in February, what are going to be some of the priorities you want to take care of in the first week to 10 days?
You know, I want to make sure that we hit back on some of the things that we need to do, like team defense and communication and bunt defenses and some pick plays and stuff like that. But really what I want to do is I want to get as many game looks as possible. I think the more, because again, when you have 11 freshmen and a lot of them position players, the more simulated games, the more inter squads, the more game looks you can get those guys so that they can, you know, go through situations that'll come up in games, I think the better. And so, you know, we're going to spend a lot of time. We are going to review some, but I'd rather almost not review and drill to the point where they understand it. I'd almost rather play some scrimmages and inter squads and sim games to have them make a mistake and learn from that in the course of a game setting, because I think we definitely need that. So then when we do tee it up and it's time to go, we've hopefully had as many of those opportunities to experience it before we play.
You can when you recruit, you get to know them not as well as I think people realize. You don't get that much contact with them in reality. How long does it really take for you to start to get the feel for what a player can and can't do capability-wise in front of your own eyes?
You know, that's a great question, because you're right. You know, you try to do the best you can by doing as much background and bringing them on campus and developing a relationship with them over the phone, interviewing their coaches and their guidance counselors, and really, you know, like you said, trying to get to know them as best you can. But it really varies from player to player. You have some guys, very rarely, you have some guys that come right in and you know, from day one are adjusted and have no problem. But, you know, for example, I'm still learning to a certain extent what some of our sophomores can do, because, you know, it takes time to really build a good two-way trust relationship. I'm actually, you know, I'm actually doing this year for the first time, where I'm meeting with each player every week, once a week, and just so that I can get to know them better, even the guys that I've coached for 3 years. But, you know, you have some guys that come in and you don't know what they can truly do because they're so, you know, they're nervous. They're nervous about impressing their teammates, impressing the coaches, being away from home. It's the first time they might fail and not feel in control of their game. And when you have a kid that maybe a lot of how they view themselves is how they play and perform, then that takes away a lot of who they think they are as a person. And so, you know, you try to get them out of that so that then they can just free up and be themselves. And then that's when you start to really realize what they can and can't do. I think if you try to make that decision too early, you miss out on some really good kids and some really good players.
What do you see as the potential of Penn State baseball? I mean, it has a long-standing tradition here. It's had some College World Series appearances, but what is the potential now in this century as to what Penn State baseball can be?
You know, Steve, everybody says that they want to play in Omaha and go to the College World Series and play for a national title. But I honestly believe that. I honestly would not have taken this job. And so then the question then becomes, all right, Coach, why do you think that? You know, what is it about it? You know, and so the thing about it is that in my opinion, in order to play for in Omaha and fight for a national championship, you have to have some things in place. Number one, you have to be in a place where your backyard and the recruiting footprint actually has quality players.
Right.
And as you and I have talked, Pennsylvania produces some of the best baseball players in the country. They're blue-collar kids. They're three-sport kids. They're tough-minded kids. They've shown that they can play more than one sport, which means they can be coached by different coaches and philosophies. And then same with the footprint. You know, the mid-Atlantic states and up into New England, there's good players there. So, number one, you got to have that. Number two, you have to have the facilities. I mean, you can't recruit good players to average facilities. You know, you got to be able to have facilities. We have some, you know, obviously we have unbelievable weight room. We have an unbelievable facility that we play in day in and day out. The other part of it is because where we're located in this part of the country, I got to be able to tell a kid when he sits down with me in my office how I got to be able to show him how I'm going to develop in January, February, and March when the weather here isn't great. Well, with us having Medlar Field and the facilities here and having Haluba Hall, where we can actually inter-squad, now I can tell a parent and a kid and be honest about it and say, you know what? Everything that we do in January and February, we would do that exact same thing if we were located in the middle of Florida. And it's true. It's not recruiting spin. It's true. And you got to have an administration that cares about and wants to give you what you need to be successful. And then the separator is the fact that the degree that we can offer a young man, you put all that together, there's nothing that you can miss. So when I honestly say, hey, I want to play for a national title and I think we can, that's why. It's not just one of those things where as a coach you say, this is what we want to do, but the truth is you don't have any of that to be able to do it.
Well, the other part, I know it's more than 20 years ago, but still the two guys that are entering into the Baseball Hall of Fame this year both have a depth of Pennsylvania roots.
Absolutely.
Mike Piazza from Norristown. And a lot of people don't realize that Ken Griffey Sr. was from Denora, which was the same town that produced Stan Musial.
Well, just, and again, look at Joe Madden, PA guy. Barry Francona.
Hazleton, yeah.
PA guy. I mean, and there, you know, so you just, you go on and on and on. I mean, and again, I can't stress enough the fact that you're talking about a state where you have three-sport guys that know how to play for different coaches that are used to going after championships, that, you know, the pitchers in this part of the country are still fresh because they're not pitching 10 months out of the year. Those are things that are important.
Obviously, you're looking for talent. I mean, no question about that, and that want to play baseball. When you look at somebody and they've been a multi-sport guy, does that impress you more than somebody who's just locked in on it, or is it just on an individual case-by-case basis?
If it comes, and this is the honest to goodness truth, if the talent level is close to the same, or and the character and the moral compass of the kid are around the same, I'm going to take the multi-sport guy over the individual guy every day of the week. I am. Because I just think that it's, you know, that guy's going to be a more developed athlete. They're going to have more competition experiences under their belt. They're going to have done with dealt with failure and success, and so I will take that. Now, for me, I think the way you said it, you know, the thing that a lot of families or parents or just people maybe don't understand is, you know, all that skill and talent, and you know, I know I talked to our football guys about this, all the 5-star and 4-star and all that kind of stuff that happens in recruiting. All that stuff's great. Like that's just kind of the eye test. That's the look test. That's kind of like when I saw my wife for the first time. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's the most beautiful woman in the world. But then after that, all that does is kind of get you attracted to that person, and then you're trying to find out what that person's like. Does their moral compass line up with what you want to, what you're trying to do? Does that work ethic line up with what we're trying to do here? Are they playing baseball for the right reason? Is winning important to them? And you would think that, yeah, winning's important to everybody, but no, the truth is that we all want to win, but the ones that are successful are the ones that are going to do what it takes to win, and those are the guys you're trying to find.
How important is this dinner on Friday night just to be a part of the overall culture of Penn State baseball, and that you just don't start the season? It's a piece to the culture part of it.
Well, it's a huge piece because I really want our kids to understand the people that came before them. I want them to understand that 5 teams have been to the College World Series from Penn State. I want them to understand that, you know, it's the oldest sport on campus, and that they're part of something special. And so, you know, I want to have a dinner like this where we can introduce them to the community and to the media and to our fans, that not just everybody gets a chance to wear that uniform. And then also, you know, something that's really cool that we started is, you know, during the dinner, you know, we have any former players in attendance, they actually are there to, we announce our current players, and they come up, and our former players present these current players with this year's jersey. And you know, it's getting an understanding of who came before you, what you're part of, that you're part of a special group, and that, you know, you owe it to the people that came before you and the people that'll come after you to make it better.
So it'll be Friday evening at the Penn Stater, and I look forward to seeing you out there Friday night.
Can't wait. As always, I appreciate you coming and being a part of it, and appreciate you having me on. And when you get a chance, give me a shout off the air later today or tomorrow just so we can talk about it.
You got it. Thanks.
All right, Steve. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thanks, Coop.
Baseball coach Rob Cooper. Coming up, we'll have Adam Bittner next half hour and Bob Flounders in the 406 half hour. Joe Person, Charlotte Observer, final half hour. We're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year's New Year's resolution at Sunbury Motors Kia is easy.
We want to see.
Yes, in 0% APR financing for up to 66 months on all remaining 2015 models, as well as the 2016 Sereno, Sportage, Sedona, Forte, and the iconic Soul. And remember, all new Kias come with an easy 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. So with a huge selection of quality Kias, all clearly sale priced, backed by one of the best warranties in the business, well, it just doesn't get any easier than this to ring in the new year with a new Kia. So resolve to come down to the Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at Sunbury Motors.com. 2016 is going to be easy at Sunbury Motors Kia. SMC, selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Going to change up here because we have a chance to talk with Ryan Snyder of Blue White Illustrated on Penn State football recruiting. It's a big football recruiting weekend coming up for the Nittany Lions starting tonight. And we'll talk to Ryan about that and much more. And then we'll have Bob Flounders on next half hour and James Franklin of a press conference tomorrow. We're brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of anywhere beer. And also, water, soda, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle Bar is second to none. Stock up for the weekend now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. This day in sports history first. And on this day in sports history, 1969, Roy Campanella and Stan Musial were elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. George Foreman knocked out Joe Frazier in two rounds for the heavyweight title in 1973. The famous Howard Cosell, down goes Frazier, down goes Frazier. 1984, Raiders beat the Redskins in the Super Bowl 38-9. 1987, a blizzard in New Jersey. Attendance for the Devils and Calgary Flames game, 334. Devils won 7-5. And then the sad note in history, as far as I'm concerned, very, very sad for many. It was 4 years ago today that Joe Paterno passed away. And, in fact, I talked with Sue Paterno on Wednesday. And take my word, the pain is still very, very much there. All right. Let's bring in Ryan Snyder from Rivals and Blue White Illustrated to join us. Ryan, welcome. It's great to have you back on the show.
Ryan is also a sucker for deviled eggs.
Too. I like deviled eggs. I'm not surprised. All right, it's stretch run. If this were a horse race, it's right about to the quarter pole of making the turn down the stretch. Penn State hosted one and one only this weekend, and so take us through that one.
Yeah, Levert Hill.
As everyone knows, I can't mention names, guys. Okay, it's an NCAA violation.
I'm rolling with
you. You're aware. I'm telling the audience, so the audience understands. I can't start blurting out names left and right. It's an NCAA violation. And but Ryan could blurt out all the names he wants, so go ahead.
Yeah, we've talked about it a few times. But, yeah, anyone that's been paying attention to recruiting, you should probably know the name Levert Hill by now. He was committed to Penn State for months, and long story short, he ended up backing out of that commitment in December. His brother plays for Michigan. He has a lot of friends going to Michigan State. So, that pressure really kind of weared on him. And that's, why basically backed out of that commitment. Now, Penn State was able to get him on campus this past weekend, and everything went really well. I mean, the staff really pulled out all the stops. I mean, they did everything they can. I mean, this is really just going to come down to, whether he wants to make his own path or whether he's going to follow his brother's path in Michigan or follow his friends over at Michigan State. Now he is considering some other schools, USC, Clemson, a couple schools in there, but this is really going to come down to Michigan, Michigan State, and I think Penn State is probably around second. I would say Michigan and Michigan State are still 1A and 1B, but give a lot of credit to the staff. I mean, they've really done everything they can here, and they've been in this race the whole time, but at the end of the day, it's tough to beat out schools that you know, have 3, 4, 5 friends going to it, like Michigan State, or, you know, a school like Michigan, where, you know, his brother, you know, under Brady Hoke, you know, from what I've been able to gather, wasn't always the best of times for his brother, but, you know, under Harbaugh, you know, he's really enjoyed it, and that's been something that's really put Michigan in a good light. So they're working their butt off, man, and they're going to still, you know, keep visiting with them, but it's going to be tough to pull LeVert in the end.
You mentioned how he's somebody who had committed, and this is not unusual where they're, you know, they're 17 years old for the most part, so they change their minds and want to make sure about it. There are a couple other guys that fall into that category that have decided to also visit elsewhere. What information do you have about that?
Yeah, Michael Dunford and Andrew Pritz. You know, Andrew's a safety out of Western PA. He went to Hickory High School. His father's an alumni here, so, you know, names should be familiar. And yeah. Michael Dunford, he's a defensive end, defensive tackle from Wayne, New Jersey. You know, Michael went to Michigan this past weekend. Pritz went to Stanford this past weekend. I'll start with Dunford. I mean, Dunford was somebody who, you know, I honestly thought that there was a chance that he would switch his commitment this weekend, and he didn't. And that's very good for Penn State because, you know, there's a lot of pressure on these guys when they take these visits. I mean, I'm sure Harbaugh was working on him quite a bit to try and get him to switch that. So the fact that he didn't works out in Penn State's favor, in my opinion, because he is coming to Penn State now next weekend. So, of course, you know, he'll go home after that Penn State visit and think things over with his family for a few days. But, you know, the fact that he didn't switch his commitment this weekend, I think that's a good sign for Penn State because I you know, I'm pretty close with Michael. I've talked to him about this a couple of times leading up to this past week, and I did think there was a chance. As far as Pritz goes, he went to Stanford this past weekend. He's actually going to go to UCLA this upcoming weekend. Now, this upcoming weekend is also Penn State's big weekend, so fans are a little concerned about that. You know, what I would say to them is I really wouldn't worry about that too much, the fact that he's not coming to Penn State next weekend. He's been here so many times. I mean, there's really not that much for him to see still. So, you know, obviously whenever you have another recruit going elsewhere, you know, that's never a good thing. But the fact that he's not coming to Penn State is just something that I don't think is a totally, totally big deal. Now, one thing that is kind of a big deal, though, is his relationship with Tommy Bradley, who, you know, Penn State fans know well. He's a defensive coordinator at UCLA. Him and his dad both have good relationships with them, and, you know, they're going to be going out to see Tommy this weekend. So, you know, for now, Andrew is still committed to Penn State, but I do think that Stanford and UCLA have a real chance to put this commitment. You know, we'll see where he stands after this weekend, but, you know, as of right now, if I was looking at Dunford and Pritz, I slightly lean towards Pritz as the one who will probably more likely back out. I think, I mean, they're both kind of around 50-50 right now, but I think Penn State's in a better position with Dunford than they are with Pritz.
Is this basically, Ryan, the weekend where all the verbal commitments do come in together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead, Steve. This is the weekend where, you know, the early enrollees are already there. You know, they have 4 early enrollees this weekend. Those guys all came in December. Now the rest of the class will come in this weekend. So, you know, there's going to be a couple other guys too. You know, they're going to have a few uncommitted guys on campus this weekend. And that's going to be big for Penn State. You know, they always are working really hard to make sure that they, you know, get all their committed guys on campus with some of the guys that aren't committed still. So, you know, that's going to be really big for Penn State. I think that right now, you know, out of the guys that, you know, aren't committed to Penn State, I'm looking at guys like Kalik Hudson, Damar Hamlin, Brendan Ferns, linebacker out of Ohio. Those are probably the 3 biggest names. There's another defensive back by Kaiser White. He's a junior college guy out of Lackawanna. So, you know, those are the 4 that I'm really looking at this weekend. You know, out of those guys, you know, Kalik has been someone I've been watching, but he just went to Michigan this last weekend and had a really good visit there. And I've always felt that Penn State's in a good position with DeMar, but if I had to pick, I think he's leaning towards Ohio State or maybe Pitt. Brendan Ferns is somebody, though, that I think Penn State has a real chance to pull out in the end. You know, he's been down between Penn State and West Virginia, but, you know, PSU's made a really strong push here lately. So he's someone to watch. And then Kaiser White, the junior college defensive back, you know, he's currently committed to West Virginia. Actually went to USC this past weekend, had a good visit there. You know, now he's supposed to be coming to Penn State this upcoming weekend. One thing with Kaiser to note, his coaches are at Lackawanna. They're pretty pro PSU, and that's going to work in Penn State's favor. So we'll see how it works out. But you know, out of those 4 guys, I think Penn State actually has the best chance with Ferns, and then Hudson. I think those are the two guys that I think Penn State has the best chance with.
Then the weekend after, if I'm judging this right, the weekend after now is the final push on the guys that you want, you know, that you're going to try and see you can close the class out with, if possible. Is that a fair assessment?
Correct.
Of the weekend of the 29th and 30th?
Yeah, yeah. The 29th and 31st is going to be, I mean, right now I actually don't have anyone set for that weekend. Brendan Furness is supposed to come that weekend, and he get it up, pushing it up to you know, January 22nd. But we're going to have visits January 29th. You know, the staff is currently reaching out to a bunch of prospects who, you know, they've been in touch with throughout the season, but, you know, either just now recently picked up an offer or about to pick up an offer. So there's a couple guys I can throw out there. One is Chicago defensive tackle Amir Watts. You know, right now I don't have him set for a Penn State visit, but I think there's a good chance Penn State will get him here. Another guy they're watching is junior college defensive tackle Brennan Thrift. He's out of Lackawanna as well. He lives out in the Pittsburgh area. He actually went to Gateway High School when, and I believe he was a freshman sophomore when Terry Smith was still there. So he has ties to Terry. He actually also went to Temple when Terry was there too. So there's a lot of ties there. A couple other guys, Sean Foster, offensive lineman out of the Midwest. He's someone to keep an eye on. So, you know, there's going to be a couple offers that go out here in the next, you know, 5 to 10 days. And I expect Penn State to not only, you know, have a chance at some of these guys, but, you know, also get them on campus there in that final weekend.
And Penn State has not, through circumstances the last couple of years, had a scholarship kicker. Where does that stand now with kickers down the stretch here?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of talking about Quinn Nordin lately. You know, I obviously, I think a lot of people saw the quotes about Harbaugh as soon as we sweeping over his house. You know, I haven't talked to Quinn, but I'm pretty sure those quotes were joking. I think they've been taken out of context a little bit. You know, they went from a, you know, scout.com article to, you know, over some of the major newspaper outlets and whatnot. It kind of blew up into something that it wasn't. But anyways, Quinn went to Michigan this past weekend for an official visit. He's expected to be at Penn State this upcoming weekend, and he's also going to go to Baylor that final weekend. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. You know, I think it's going to come down to Penn State and Michigan. And, you know, if I had to pick a school right now, I do kind of lean towards Michigan. You know, the reporters up there at the Michigan Michigan rival site, you know, I'll be honest, they're pretty connected up there. They're pretty good at what they do. And, you know, they feel pretty confident that he's going to flip at some point. And Quinn's also from Michigan, so you know, they do have some ties there. But you know, what's really going to come down to, at least in my opinion, is next weekend. You know, Penn State has a chance to really, you know, show him, you know, a good weekend, and a lot of the other commits are going to be up here. So that's going to be big for Penn State. You know, as of right now, it looks like they, you know, have to fight to keep on with some of these guys, but.
Yeah.
You know, at the same time, if they get them up next weekend and have a good time, they'll be in good shape.
What about numbers, though? You've brought up Michigan, for example, a couple of times here. How many commitments do they have to give out, and where are they on their verbals right now?
That's a good question. I'm trying to figure this out myself the past week, because as you've seen, I mean, Michigan is going after a couple of Penn State guys. I mean, right now they stand at 23. And, you know, with Big Ten rules, I believe they can oversign to 28, I believe is what they can technically oversign to. So, you know, that gives them five spots still, you know, if they want to push those limits and go all the way up to 28 to oversign three. Now, at the same time, I also know that Michigan has brought up gray shirts with some of these prospects. You know, if your listeners aren't 100% sure what a gray shirt is, basically it's kind of like a red shirt, but instead of, you know, getting him on campus and, you know, making sure he sits out a year, they actually just don't come to campus at all until January.
Let me give everyone the prime example of that, Jordan Norwood. Jordan Norwood was a gray shirt. He started the January after his class started, and, by the way, is still collecting checks in the three-letter league.
And he's doing pretty well, too.
He's playing this weekend.
Popping up a couple times.
Yeah, he's playing this weekend.
Mm-hmm. So anyway,
that's an example. So everyone knows that you know, and not only it's you know, it's up to the kid to accept it. It is not a slap in their face, because it's up to you to take advantage of what you have.
Exactly. And I know this is something that I brought up with Quinn Nordin. Now, I've been trying to learn more about Dunford's situation, and from everything I've gathered so far, they haven't brought up gray shirting with Dunford. But I know that Quinn Nordin was somebody that they brought up this potential to gray shirt with. So it really is just going to kind of depend on who else Michigan gets in this class and where they stand, you know, in that final week. There's a chance that they could just be a regular scholarship. There's a chance that you know, Michigan was going to ask him to go the gray shirt route. So, you know, as of right now, like I said, they can technically sign five more, you know, if you look at the oversign rules and all that. And, you know, we'll kind of have to see how it shakes out. But yeah, Michigan's definitely getting up there in numbers. That's for sure.
And also, you know, you've done a lot of work down in the Maryland area, obviously. Mm-hmm. So give us just a feel for that area, how rich it is down there, and whether DJ Durkin's made any inroads versus what James Franklin's been able to do, who also has very deep connections down there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Maryland is a very important state. I mean, Penn State fans know that. You know, there's just some excellent players that are coming out of Maryland. You know, I've always said that, you know, as important as Pennsylvania is, Maryland and New Jersey, actually, I think New Jersey is the most important state. Maryland and New Jersey are 1A, 1B. I mean, they are extremely pivotal to Penn State. You know, as far as DJ Durkin goes, it's actually been pretty interesting. You know, I've seen some things from coaches over the years, but Durkin, what he's doing down there has caught my eye. Now, he's landed commitments from Terrence Davis and Richard Merritt, who are both four-star prospects, which is you know, a very good grab, you know, considering he's only been on the job for about a month now. They're both four-star offensive linemen. However, he's also done something that a lot of Penn State fans would probably disagree with. You know, from what I've gathered, he's also cut about half of their class. About half of Randy Etzel's current, you know, former commitments are now no longer, you know, considered commitments to Maryland. It's not because the players backed out. It's because Durkin kind of basically said, thanks, but no thanks.
Right.
So that's very interesting to me. That can go both ways, you know. I mean, you know, right now he's looking at trying to get the best players in there as he can, and, you know, that may help him get a couple more four-stars, but at the same time, you know, there's some really good schools that some of these players went with, and that's definitely going to probably impact him down the road. So that's caught my eye. I mean, he's cut about at least six, seven of their commitments, you know, just said basically thanks for no thanks. So that's very interesting.
What does that do, though, image-wise in recruiting?
Exactly.
I mean, I'm just talking just pure perception. Now you're saying, oh yeah, he's bringing in guys, and you know they'll like the guys and so forth. But you know, somebody's already been recruited. They felt good about what they're doing. They commit to it. They still want to stay. What does that do perception wise? As you talk to people.
Exactly. And I mean, here's the thing: is, you know, if you follow the message boards and stuff, you know about this stuff. You know, but. You know, that's still only, especially with Maryland, you know, Maryland's site is nothing like, you know, Penn State's site as far as subscribers and stuff like that. So, you know, the general public doesn't even realize this is going on. So, you know, perception-wise, it's actually not as bad as it maybe should be, to be honest, because I don't think a lot of people actually understood, you know, what actually happened. But for the players that have been cut and the coaches at those high schools and everything, I'm going to be very surprised if Maryland has much success there going forward.
Right.
I mean, you know, there's one man by the name of Michael Clark. He's a offensive lineman out of Downingtown East. Michael's someone I've known really well. You know, he committed to Maryland, back in the spring, and over the course of this season, you know, he had the opportunity to visit six, seven schools and turn them all down, you know, just to stay loyal to Maryland, to stay committed, which, you know, any fan would love to see.
Right.
Sure enough, you know, Durkin gets hired, and over a month, Dan, you know, nothing is said. You know, he believes, you know, he's still, you know, good to go with Maryland. And then just about 10 days ago, he learned that, you know, he was going to be cut from Maryland. So, you know, I feel bad for him, you know, because now he's in a situation where, you know, South Carolina's showing interest, Pitt's showing interest, but, you know, it could have been 7, 8, 9, 10 schools showing interest, you know, if you wanted them to stay loyal. So, I mean, here's a situation where, you know, he does everything he can to be true to his school. And it comes back to haunt him. So I'd be very surprised if Durkin has much success at Downingtown East going forward. And there's quite a few other schools that are, you know, have players that are in the same boat.
Right, because obviously everyone remembers 25 years ago the Brian Milne situation here. You know, and he got sick after he'd been committed, and Joe Paterno said, "Yeah, and nothing's going to change. You're still on scholarship, no matter what." That resonates. I mean, that kind of, hey, we recruited you, we're sticking with you.
Mm-hmm.
That resonates, you know, through something like that that people don't forget.
I actually have a pretty good story real quick if you have a second.
Of course.
Danny Dalton, he's a tight end for Penn State. He actually just enrolled early.
Yeah, from Marshfield, Massachusetts.
Correct, yep. Danny's cousin went to Fordham and played under Joe Moorhead, okay? Mm-hmm. Danny's cousin got hurt, I believe, his freshman or sophomore year, you know, never playing again. Moorhead, not only did he keep him on scholarship, but he also gave him an opportunity to work with the weight staff. And his cousin has since become, you know, one of the lead, like, weight trainers in the Fordham program. So there's just a good story about Joe Moorhead and the type of character that he has that you know, Franklin obviously just brought him in about a month or so back. So, you know, it's just a funny story, or not a funny story, but, a good story about, you know, something I had a talk with Danny Dalton one time. You know, Joe Moorhead was one of those guys who, you know, could have cut him and, you know, used that scholarship elsewhere, but, you know, he honored it, and, you know, not only did he honor it, but he gave, you know, Danny's cousin an opportunity to really stick with the program and grow with the program, and, you know, now he works with Fordham full time.
Well, guess what? Players are people. They aren't numbers. So, It's Brian, always interested in what you have to say. The audience, I think, just got a lot out of this. I appreciate it very much. I know there's nothing that you say on here that you haven't already posted in your regular job, but I think it's also good for people to hear it.
Absolutely, Steve. I'm going to be busy these next couple of weeks, bud. But, you know, if you want to talk next week and leading up to signing day, set me up.
Yep. You're in. Thanks so much, Ryan. Always great.
Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated. Bob Flounders, next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.